Greetings, brothers and sisters. We are again pleased to be before you with the wonderful Bible that the Lord has given us. It's my turn to take the daily devotion, and I'm asking the Lord to help me to bring something to you. There's something that has been on my heart for a long time, and especially lately I've had this this unction inside to look into a scripture and a way and a thought where I can title it, "It is not yet too late to be a wise and understanding believer." And to me, I have looked through the Bible many times because we have a oncoming catching away called the terminology of the rapture. And many people today have really, when they talk about Jesus Christ, the Bible, and the fulfillment of prophecy, then we can sense that people are not really looking into the catching away or the rapture too much, but they're talking more about the coming of the Lord in Revelation chapter 19 and 20. The story and the prophecies about the coming of the Lord in Revelation 19 and 20, they are true, but they are an event that is really summarized by the Great Tribulation. We know that the world is going to face a time, a tribulation that has never been before, and the magnitude of it is actually what we're talking about. There's always been tribulations. So therefore, tribulations, I will say, when we look at the Second World War, and we saw the Jews being brought into the work camps in Germany and Poland, we found out that it was extermination camps. And the people that lived there, they would probably say that was the greatest tribulation of all time. And then down through the years, all the way to the crucifixion of Christ, there have been severe tribulations in the world. And the Jewish nation have faced so many of them that men might say, well, what is the worst one? But as Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 24, we find out that there is a tribulation that are still yet to come. And when the world is facing that, it's going to be so tragic that the human soul, people of the world, will be really killed off in such masses that it looks like it will erase the human lives from the earth. We know that the Lord is in control of everything. So therefore, when we are talking about the coming of the Lord, then if we are looking at the coming of the Lord as in Revelation 19 and 20, then we will face the coming of the Lord after the greatest tribulation that has ever been on earth and ever will be on earth. But the Lord, when we look at the coming of the Lord and we see the parables that Jesus really put before the disciples. He's mentioning about something else. And that is what I want to look into. You can go with me to Matthew chapter 25. And then we read there in the scriptures, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Well, even before we start our little session today, we are not looking in Matthew 25 at the setting of Revelation chapter 19 and 20. This is something that's happening before the tribulation starts. And it says here in verse 2, and five of them were foolish, and five were wise. For the foolish took, when they took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. No, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight, there is a cry. Behold, the bridegroom, come you forth to meet him. Then all those wise virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us all your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, peradventure, there will not be enough for us and you. Go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went away to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour. So here, in this passage, Matthew 25 from verse 1 through 15, we find out that there are certain people, some of them, hey, hopefully, most of us are wise. And the setting of what to have with you to take the oil, because it said there that the foolish, or should we say in verse 2, it says five were foolish and five were wise. And the foolish, when they took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So here, Jesus is showing a certain example and a certain setting that there is oil that is essential, very important for the people, for the virgins, because the lamp is then a vessel that is going to give them light. And in this parable, the light is very essential and important for them how to function. Because with oil, they will be able to to distinguish where to find a door and be able to get in through the door. Bye. So you see, when you go to when you go to verse 10, you see that the foolish virgins, they had to go to try to find oil to bring in cans. But when they were walking to try to find the oil to prepare themselves so they could meet the bridegroom came. And only they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. To me, the story and the word oil, it's not just natural oil, it is a parable. And when I read about it and I see what oil represents, it really represents the fullness of the born again experience. We know that the scripture is talking to us, repent, that's Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Peter is speaking to the people, he is talking them about repentance and then about baptism, so that they can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is actually the third office in the Godhead, where from Jesus Christ told his disciples, I will not always be with you, that means in flesh, but I will send a comforter, that you read about that in St. John, that the Holy Spirit is talked about as a comforter. And Jesus would send the comforter, which came on the day of Pentecost. That is what resulted in the experience of Acts chapter 2, that Peter was speaking, because in verse 1 to 4, we see that the disciples were gathered in the upper room and they were all in one accord. And then suddenly there was a sound from heaven and tongues of fire came down and set upon each believer, and they were able, by the grace of God, to receive the Holy Ghost, and that changed them completely. Because there, the gifts of the Spirit started operating in their lives. And to me, when I see that, that is really the oil that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 25. So the oil is representing the Holy Spirit. So repentance, baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost makes a fully born-again believer. But when we look at the wise and the foolish, what should we say they all represented? Well, what I say is, the wise people, they had accepted repentance, baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The foolish virgins, it says, it doesn't say that they lacked salvation completely, but they had started on the journey. Yeah, repentance, I accept that. They have been baptized. So they have received two elements of the type of new birth that is supposed to be represented in the believer. But they failed to receive the Holy Spirit because that was the oil that was going to make them able to see the door and go in through it. So when they went to buy oil, as we read in this parable, they that were ready were already fixed and just waiting for the Lord to come. And when he came, they that were ready went in with him, and the door was shut. My brothers and sisters, when the door is shut, there is no one else to open it up. And then when the foolish virgins came back, you may say, have they got the oil now? Well, the Bible doesn't really say anything about their standards, but they have received some confidence that whatever the wise virgins had, now they felt they had the same thing. So therefore, they went and they tried to knock on that door. But remember, that door is not just a gateway naturally. It's not wood, iron, or anything. It is a spiritual setting. So when they felt they were ready, it was too late. So he said here in verse 12, in Matthew 25, 12, because when they came, they cried to the Lord and said, open up to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. And in verse 13, watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour. When you look at this parable, it fits the descriptions that we read about in the catching away. Because there are people that are going to hear the trumpet sound from God, and they will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not at that time, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And when they hear the sound of his voice, that trumpet, they are ready and they walk in with him. But this world that we have around us is not actually living a life representing the Lord Jesus Christ to its best level. Therefore, when they come and they see that there is a door that they cannot come through, and I say, when the rapture comes, how can anyone stand knocking on a physical door? There is no door to take people into that level. Because when you read in we can actually go to Corinthians and go to chapter 15, and we go to verse 52. I want to read that part. For in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And then it says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put in immortality, put on immortality. That part, I know that repentance we all can turn around and repent. That's a physical act. Of course, it's a spiritual act, but we can physically turn around and say, I don't want to go that road anymore. And with that in mind, you will find out that you can turn your life and want to live for Christ. And you can also, in the second stage, let yourself be baptized. So if you baptize yourself in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will find out. Now you have done two parts that involves you and your mind, your mentality, your heart, your insight.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the Holy Ghost, you shall be given the Holy Ghost. Remember, you cannot grasp the Holy Ghost and put it inside yourself. The Bible says you shall receive the Holy Ghost. But to be able to receive a gift, you have to have a giver. And the giver, of course, is the Lord. And if you're not on terms with him, if you're foolish, you will not receive, because he is not there for the foolish insight. He is only there for the wise insight. The sight that you need to have to please God in your life. All right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So here we see that to be able to walk in that door and through that door into this dimension, you have to put on incorruption and immortality. And that is not an act of you. That is an act of God. God is the one that can give you immortality and incorruption, because that represents the new body, the resurrective body. A person that is alive when the Lord comes, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you will find out that when we have that standard, then we have the ability to put on incorruption and immortality. And it is not we that put it on physically. It's God that clothed us in it. When you read about the believers in Revelation chapter 6, you have the story about the fifth seal. And here you see that people were given white robes, which represents a standard of eternal life. So when you are given a white robe, and you cannot take that robe and put it on yourself, God is the one who clothed you in that white robe with an immortal body. Yeah. That means now you have a heavenly body that the Lord is accepting, and he invites you into his fellowship. All right. What did I start out saying here? I said, there is a text in my mind. There is not even now too late to be a wise and understanding believer. That tells me we have to humble ourselves, give the word of God every right that it has to change our lives, our motives, our perspective, everything in life that we are today, we can obey the Lord. But if we put up any fences to protect ourselves, because I want to go this far, but I don't want to go beyond that line. If we have things in our lives where we don't want to follow the Lord fully, to the full extent, then it is a type and a sign that we need to have the full baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is not enough just to repent. It's a good thing to do it. It is not enough just to baptize and be baptized. Of course, that is the way the Lord wants you to go. But to be able to have the total security in life that you are surely a wise virgin, a wise person, then you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That will make you a bride. It will make you a wise person, and you will be ready to walk in with Him. Remember, even today, it is not too late. And I ask you to make sure that you have the fullness of the new birth in your life, so you can walk on and have confidence that when the cry comes out, go in to meet the bridegroom, then you will not have a fatal discovery that you're not prepared. A wise person will be prepared. May the Lord bless you today, and we will continue our thought as we go through the week. God bless you. Amen.